Welcome to Discover Barnstable, the official podcast of the Town of Barnstable, a podcast where you can meet the people who steward the programs and services for the Town of Barnstable that connects us to our quality of life. We invite you to join the conversation as we navigate municipal government and our community pathways to help you discover Barnstable. I'm Lynn Poyon, and today I'm joined with my fellow co-host and tour guide, Liz Hartsgrove, as we dive into this week's topic of discussion, the West Barnstable Fire District, with Fire Chief Joe Maruca. Chief Maruca started his career as a volunteer firefighter in 1977 and served for 28 years as a volunteer member of three fire departments. He became the West Barnstable Fire Chief in 2005, in addition to practicing law in Hyannis for 25 years. Welcome, Chief Maruca. We're glad that you came to join us today.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to it. This should be fun.
Yeah, welcome, Joe.
Yeah.
So you've served in three different fire departments, is that right, or districts?
Yes. Well, when I was in high school in 1977, so now you can figure out how old I am.
You didn't say what year in high school, though.
I was a senior, so okay. You can do the math. And I was drafted, actually. I'm one of the few draftees in the Volunteer Fire Service into the Long Meadow, Massachusetts Fire Department. It was school vacation week, and I went to the hardware store, and there was a brush fire, and they kind of took me off the street and put me to work, and I went home at the end of the afternoon a member of the Volunteer Fire Department. And I have been in the fire service ever since that day. When I moved to Cape Cod, I was with Long Meadow for 9 years. I moved to Cape Cod after law school and joined a private law practice here in Hyannis, Sykes and Cole, and I worked with Peter Sykes and David Cole for a long time. And then I volunteered with the Sandwich Fire Department. I live in East Sandwich, actually. My backyard's in West Barnstable and my house is in East Sandwich. And Sandwich was what we call a combination fire department. It had a staffed station downtown and it had two volunteer stations at the time. And then over time, I came to be a member of the West Barnstable Fire Department. It was closer to my house than the Sandwich Fire Department. And that was in the early 90s. I'm gonna say 92, I think.
Mm.
And served there as a volunteer until they made me chief in 2005. And here we are.
Here we are.
It's been a long run. The Fire Chiefs Association says the typical chief in Massachusetts has a tenure of about 4 years. Wow. So I've outlived an awful lot of chiefs.
Yeah.
Careers. Not, they're all still alive. I don't mean it that way. Yeah. But their careers. I've watched, since I've been chief, Sandwich has had, I think, four fire chiefs. Yarmouth has had three. Barnstable's had two or three. Kituit's going to its fourth. Mashpee's on its second. It's interesting to watch the turnover in the job.
And I have to say that the Town of Barnstable, with its five fire districts, we've had some long-tenured fire chiefs. With Chief Jenkins, who was your predecessor.
He was chief for 32 years.
And Chief Farrington at COMM.
Same. Yeah. I'm going to say at least 32 years that they served. I don't think we'll ever see that again. The job is a grind. I don't know. I probably get two more years left. I will be 65, and I will be required by state law to retire. So that's kind of the end of my career at that point.
For that phase.
For that phase. Well, we'll
see.
I don't know how I'm going to reinvent myself, and that could be a whole other episode on your mental state when you're facing mandatory retirement.
Yeah.
So someday we'll have that discussion.
So, but you've seen the evolution over your career of fire districts and how some might go into from a volunteer to an actual paid position and in other forms. But can you talk to us a little bit about really what is a fire district and how is it determined specifically in Barnstable and West Barnstable even? So how...
Sure. So the Town of Barnstable has five fire districts, and each of these are their own separate quasi-municipal government organizations. And we were all created by the state legislature. at varying times, and I won't try to memorize it. I know Hyannis and Kituate go back, I think, to the late 1800s. But the West Barnstable Fire District came into existence in 1949. It was just after World War II, when, you know, the society was changing and we were becoming more organized in our lives in many ways. And up until that point, there was no fire protection in West Barnstable. So if your house caught fire and burned down, the other fire districts might send assistance, but there was no responsibility for providing fire protection in West Barnstable. And this all goes back to that, you know, 100 and some odd years ago, the town of Barnstable town meeting chose not to form a fire department for the community as a whole. And in doing so, it kind of kicked off this, well, people in Hyannis created their own fire company and got the legislature to approve it. And then over time, the other districts filled in the rest of the community. And so that's kind of where we've come to in this point. And I know there's a sense that, well, this is crazy. We're the only town in the world that has five fire departments. And it's all, that's a myth. There are at least 26 or 28 others in Massachusetts that have fire districts like this. It's not common, but it's not unheard of. And nationally, it's remarkably common. You know, some states, they don't exist at all, and in other states, it's the primary way that they're organized. And I know I've learned this because I'm on the board of directors of the National Volunteer Fire Council. And so I deal with people from all over the country and in Washington on issues. And so I wrote down here that, so there's 31 towns in Rhode Island, and 11 of them are like us in that sense, and that there's 22,448 fire districts in Pennsylvania for 1,700 cities and towns. So what we do here isn't particularly uncommon, but it is unusual in Massachusetts sense. You know, Connecticut is very common. You know, my wife was born in Greenwich, Connecticut. Greenwich has five fire districts. And
okay.
So does Stamford. And these are, you know, so you kind of pick these things up in life. And so it's interesting to see. So we are created by the state. We're quasi-governmental. West Barnstable is governed by an elected three-member board called a Prudential Committee. So when you drive by our station and you see the sign out front that says Prudential Committee meeting Wednesday, 4 p.m. at the fire station, think of it like a Board of Selectmen meeting. And it's open to the public, and the people of West Barnstable elect them. When we were first created, we were just a fire district. Then somewhere along the line, and I'm going to say it was in the late 60s, early 70s, we also petitioned the legislature, and they approved for us to become a water district. So we are both a fire and a water district. And so we have three elected water commissioners. We don't have a water system. So the primary role of the water commissioners over the years has been to avoid a water system as opposed to creating one.
Really? That's interesting.
Yeah, it's an interesting kind of cultural piece of West Barnstable.
It is, because my brother and sister-in-law live in West Barnstable, and they don't have a water system,
right.
They have a well.
Yeah.
And that, you know, is one of the things that, you know, how does the fire department get water to a fire if there's not a water system and if there aren't hydrants throughout the district?
Yeah.
How do you, what's the answer to that question?
We use what we call a water shuttle operation. So I'll go with the big kind of bold answer. When we have a serious fire, we send a fire engine to a fire hydrant in Centerville or Marston's Mills or Barnstable or Sandwich, and they connect up to that hydrant, and then they sit there. And we gather up all of the tanker trucks in the region. So we call for every tanker truck that runs between Onset all the way down Cape, but Onset, Joint Base, Sandwich, Mashpee, Plymouth, all of these departments have tanker trucks. We have two tanker trucks. And the tanker trucks shuttle between the fire hydrant in the Mills or in Sandwich and the fire scene. And the fire trucks that are dealing with the fire, we drop big portable, they look like vinyl swimming pools in the street. And the tanker trucks pull up and they dump all their water into those pools, and then they rush back to get more water.
Wow.
And then the fire trucks at the fire use what we call hard suction, think a straw.
Yep.
In a soda, and they suck the water out of the pools, spin it through their pumps to the fire hoses to fight the fire. And it's a challenge. We're capable of developing and maintaining a water flow of about 750 gallons per minute using that capacity, which sounds like a lot of water. And that's great. It's effective for a single family home. But commercial buildings like the feed store in West Barnstable, that's a 3,000 gallon a minute fire. So we're fighting a losing battle because of the lack of water to some extent in those areas. Mm. Smaller fires, we have our own two tankers, one with 5,000 gallons of water, one with 3,000 gallons of water. We send our ladder truck out to the fire scene first. It's a combination ladder pumper. It has 400 gallons of water, followed by the 5,000 gallon tanker. We connect the two trucks together, and we can extinguish 95% of all fires that way pretty quickly with 5,000 gallons of water. Most of the fires we get are in single-family residences. They're small. We're fast getting to them now. We have about an eight-minute response time in West Barnstable.
And West Barnstable is one of the more rural villages within the town of Barnstable.
Yes.
It is actually the most rural village where the land exceeds the number of people.
Right. There's not a lot of people. There's maybe 3,000 people in West Barnstable scattered over 1-2 acre zoning. So everything's out there and it's tough. And we have a unique firefighting profile and problems in West Barnstable that don't apply to any other part of town. West Barnstable and East Sandwich are about the last two places on Cape Cod without water systems. So we have a little bit in common more with the Sandwich Fire Department, and we trade equipment, and if they have a fire in East Sandwich, we respond to it with our tanker right away. We have a fire in West Barnstable, their tanker comes automatically to us. And we have an agreement for the ladder truck out of Barnstable Village to also respond automatically in West Barnstable to fires. And we send our ladder truck to their fires automatically. So we have kind of an arrangement among the three departments along 6A to back each other up.
Mutual aid.
Well, this is automatic aid. Mutual aid is... And now you're getting me nuanced. It's going to be crazy because everybody listening wants to know the legal difference between mutual aid. So when you have a fire chief who spent 25 years as a lawyer, you're just doomed. Yeah, mutual aid. I'll just leave it at that.
Okay. But let's actually go talk about your challenges, because you spoke a little bit about those challenges as far as, you know, the water, access to water and helping get, you know, keeping people safe and their properties safe. But how do you do that with the challenge of a volunteer fire department? That's
so
intense.
Yeah, we are
talking about intense.
We're primarily a volunteer fire department.
Okay.
There are seven of us at the fire department who are full-time career members of the service. Myself, the deputy fire chief, the four paramedic shift commanders, and then we have an additional lieutenant paramedic who works during the daytime.
So you're not just fire response, you are also
paramedic.
We
are an ALS ambulance service, and we are responsible for EMS and fire protection for all of West Barnstable, as well as oddball rescues and things, searches.
I was going to say, because it includes Sandy Neck.
Yes.
The West Barnstable Fire Department is frequently at Sandy Neck for different things that take place over the dunes.
Missing people who burns, drunks, all kinds of problems, wildfires, boat incidents, swimming incidents, horseback riding incidents, you name it. Sandy Neck is a potpourri of unusual emergency incidents that we have to deal with. And it creates problems with access. We have a fleet of four-wheel drive and all-wheel drive vehicles that are specifically designed to operate on the beach. That's why we own them. And so that we have to do a lot of training with those to operate them properly.
And you're working, you really, not dependent, but you're just, you work together collaboratively with so many different departments because you really almost have to, because you really are, you know, everybody has different talents that then help right. you get to solve the issue.
Right. So we do joint training with the Sandy Neck and Natural Resources and Harbor Master staff. We do joint training every year with all of our neighboring departments on how to shuttle water, because mm-hmm. it's not something they need to know how to do, but we need them to know how to do it because we need their help. So it's very manpower intensive operation to do that. But back to the staffing, so there's the seven of us full-time. We have five part-time firefighters who work almost 20 hours a week each, one on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And then we have about 40 volunteers in our system. Volunteers are kind of the meat and muscle of the system. The career staff and the part-time staff kind of create the skeletal core of what we need. We're doing the leadership, the administration, the recruiting, the training. We're doing a lot of that. And there are volunteers that help in those areas as well. But we rely heavily on our volunteer force to give us the staffing that we need to actually handle a fire or complex incidents. We get some complex motor vehicle crashes on Route 6 that we're responsible for dealing with. And we also deal with hazardous materials incidents. And this goes back to the water issue. Everybody in West Barnstable has a private well. So a fuel oil truck that spills 200 gallons of fuel is a serious emergency in West Barnstable. It's an emergency in another community, but it doesn't have the potential impact of two or three people's homes now having polluted wells
right.
when you're on a municipal water system. And so we train specifically for those kind of incidents that we deal with.
So how do then, you're really 40 people that are volunteers, how does somebody who has an interest or a passion for learning about and maybe wanting to volunteer, how do they get involved with that? And can you talk about, starting a career in that and through volunteer?
It is a career path. For many of the people that join us, they are on a career path to becoming a career firefighter in another community.
Okay.
And there's more than 100 West Barnstable alumni serving in the other districts and in Sandwich and in Yarmouth. Truro just hired three of our volunteers this year away from us to join their fire department full time.
And that has to be so hard because you're training them. You're investing
yes.
all this time and effort into it, and you're creating fabulous firefighters, and then they get poached by other communities.
They do.
And so you're back at square one having to
do it again.
But it's gratifying at the same time, I think, because you see what, you know, everybody's wanting firefighters from West Barnstable because they really know that they're getting a good product out of this person, you know?
Right. We have one of the best training programs around, and we would match our firefighters with anyone anywhere in the state. We use the national curriculum and training so that if you're a volunteer in West Barnstable, you're going to have the same training and qualifications as a career firefighter in Cambridge or Baltimore or Cape, any of the Cape departments.
Yeah.
We're using a national standard for our training program. I used to find it very frustrating and annoying. I've moved past that anger in my life. I accept it as kind of our place. It is difficult. It's frustrating. And people look at it and they say, wow, look at the cost. And there's a huge cost to this. But it's not so much the financial cost. It's the kind of the mental wear and tear on the seven of us that are running the organization.
Yeah.
That's a cost that's more hidden to people. They don't see that cost on us. But I've come to look at it as if we're a college basketball team. We're the UConn
Huskies. Yeah.
And, you know, they come into us. They're freshmen. They're new to our class. We train them. We get them going. By the time they're sophomores, they're out in the field and they're working, and they're juniors, and then somewhere around the end of their senior year, they're getting the job offers from Centerville and Truro and Chatham and Sandwich and Falmouth, and we just had somebody, Detroit just hired one of our people.
Wow.
And he came in and said, Detroit called me and said, report for work Monday. And he was
nationally
packing his car
renowned.
And he was driving away. And we've had a number of our people go on to be chiefs in other places.
Well, it sounds like, though, your program, though, Joe, is so innovative. You have to be, when you have so many limitations against you, you really have to think quick on your feet. And that is a skill set that only you can get through boots on the ground experience. And I think that's why West Barnstable is on the map as far as getting really good employees for and weeding out the ones that really are doing this as more of a hobby versus who are really passionate and want to make this into a long time career, just like you.
Well, it wasn't my goal. I'm the accidental fire chief.
Oh yeah.
This was not something I intended to do in life. I intended to be a volunteer and to serve, and I was a volunteer captain and I was enjoying that, but it was a unique opportunity to be chief. And when I took the job, I said I was only going to do it for 5 years. And here we are 16 years later. And now I'm not looking forward to retiring because I love being the fire chief. But it's a lot of work. Organizing and managing volunteers is as much work as managing full-time staff. We have to do all the same HR work that we do with full-time staff. And they're like scheduling cats, whereas full-time people tend to be easier to schedule. Scheduling volunteers is tough. We have to make sure that we have volunteers on duty every night. Mm-hmm. We have four, we call them groups or squads or companies, whatever term you want to use, to organize them so that tonight is group three. And there's 10 volunteers on group three, and they are led by our captain, Bill Murray, who is one of our 7 full-time people, and he's responsible for keeping them aligned and ready for tonight's overnight operations.
Mm. Are they physically at the fire station?
Some of them will be, yes.
And others would be like an on-call situation?
Yes, so it's a mixed group.
Get the tone, and they're on their way.
Right, because we have performance standards that they're self-imposed, but they are standards based on national fire service standards that we will have an ambulance at your house in 8 minutes or less 90% of the time. And so to be able to do that, we've got to have people ready to go immediately at all times. And we can't have serious gaps. And we do have occasional gaps. So every fire department has occasional gaps. Nobody can do 100% of their volume.
Correct.
Without assistance or having to call upon their neighbors occasionally, but we've come a long way. The insurance industry rating for the West Barnstable Fire Department is what they call a class 2. They rate fire departments on a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being the best and a 10 being these are their words, no effective fire protection.
Wow.
And we started as a class 9. 20 years ago, and we're now class 2, puts us in somewhere between the top 10 and 15% of fire departments in the country.
Congratulations.
That's much to be proud of.
Yes, we're highly effective at what we do. And for a department that's so reliant on volunteers, that's a major achievement to get there. The people in our, we have a great group of people. That do great work at our station, but it is a lot of work to keep it going.
And you're definitely a part of the community because you're active with the West Barnstable Civic Association, Village Association.
Yeah.
With the library, frequently the library will have activities. You'll see them on your message board, Meeting House Farm, which is down across the way. You see stuff there.
We are.
The 1717 Meeting House. I mean, you are part of the fabric of West Barnstable.
Yeah. And it's a great thing, and I love it, and I love being the chief, and it's going to change. It has changed if you were to ask me 15 years ago what this is going to look like in 15 years, I would not have described to you what we've done. And so I don't dare to try and describe what it's going to look like in 15 years. I've learned one thing: you can't fight change. If you dig your heels in too much on change, you're going to get left behind in life, and the world is going to pass you by, and the next thing you know, your organization's obsolete.
Correct.
And I've lived through that in a few organizations in my life. And so while I might live my personal life in kind of an old-fashioned way in many ways, professionally I know that we've always got to be looking for the next phase, mm-hmm. and being alert to that and trying to keep ourselves moving forward. If we don't keep progressing, we won't be able to serve the community, because community expectations are what drives us. You know, we're there to meet community expectations, and those expectations aren't formed by us. It's formed by the people who live in West Barnstable, and I dare say by what they watch on television, or, and now I'm being old-fashioned, whatever they're streaming is where their expectations come from. Because for those of you of my age, you know that the entire emergency medical service in the United States is based on a 1973 television show called Emergency. And prior to that show, nothing that we did existed. And that one show created a national expectation of what EMS should look like. And we're still doing it to some degree. It's evolved, but it's just, it traces back to a television show. And so people in West Barnstable, they get their sense, what should we be providing them? Well, it comes from TV. It comes from what they see their neighbors getting in other communities. And we have that same effect on other communities. Well, if the West Barnstable ambulance can get to my house in 8 minutes, how come yours can't? And fortunately, all the districts in Barnstable, we are all high-end operations. I think we're all class two players. This town is blessed with having fire and EMS services that stand in that top 10% tier as far as service level that you're going to get from us. There's nothing kind of lagging here, mm-hmm. in the area. And the Cape generally has a strong EMS service in its fire departments. We're all a little different. We all have different needs, and I can't wrap my mind around the Lower Cape and the whole geographic issues that they deal with, yeah. down there. It's not my world. But I also know that in my role with the National Volunteer Fire Council, I'm in New York, and I'm in Alabama, and I was in Wyoming, and I'm looking at volunteer fire companies and fire departments, and I know that what we're doing is far and above what the norm is across the United States, whether there are career department like Hyannis, they're head and shoulders above what I see in other parts of the country for similar types of career departments versus in what we're doing. And I think what's happened here is we're all, I don't want to say we're competing with each other, but we're
learning.
We're learning from each other, yeah. but I don't mean it competition in the sports sense, but if Centerville is improving their operations, we're seeing that and we're feeling the pressure. Well, we got to do something to up our game, because we can't just continue to do what we're doing. And so that's been a benefit for us over the years that I've been. And we also have, in Cape wide, I would say this is true. We had a lot of long-term chiefs that retired out, and we've had a lot of turnover in chiefs. And I think we've got a really professional core of highly educated, very smart, capable fire chiefs within our system here in the town and in our region. I got to be careful, I don't get myself in trouble with the retired guys, but but it's different. It's a very different group, and we're much more collaborative than we used to be.
Yeah.
And I think we're much smarter as a group in things, just when it comes to finance and budgeting and managing. For me, it's not about fighting fires; it's about fighting budgets and fighting human resource issues, and making the organization work.
Right.
And I think that's a change. And go back 50 years ago, and the fire chief, they went to fires and put the fire out, and then everybody went home. And there was really no sense of how to keep the organizations running.
So this is one of the things why we know that this is like the first conversation
of
a number of conversations.
Agreed. Because I really thank you so much. I think we're going to, I've learned a considerable amount, and I definitely would love to have you join us again and even bring some of your volunteers in who are, you know, to talk about their career and how it's really been a life changer for them in a positive sense. And thank you so much for coming. I think we're going to do our rapid fire, though, because, you know, you talk about retirement. I want to know, Joe, what are your hobbies outside of work? What are your passions?
Well, oh, boy.
Because it's really, it's hard.
So the fast answer is what little time I spend outside of the fire station. So I go to work 7 days a week almost. And I can get away with that a little bit now because my kids have graduated from college and all I have to do now is pay for it. And they're great. I have a daughter who lives in Florida and she is married, and I have a daughter who lives in Bridgewater. And so it's my wife and I at home. And we both have full-time jobs and careers, and we're very busy. I think we're busier now than we were when the kids lived at home. And so family was kind of my, I don't want to call it a hobby, but it was the big time filler for us.
Yeah.
And we did a lot of traveling, and we obviously haven't been able to do any traveling really for the last two and a half years, which has kind of shut us down. I used to do lots of things. I used to go surf casting and hunting and go bowling. I haven't done anything
that's
like that.
Though the joy, Joe, you're going to be able to rediscover all of those things that you have not had in your life, and that's
it's mixed because being fire chief. You know, when somebody says to you, "Who are you?" I know who I am. I'm the fire chief of West Barnstable. That's not just my job. It's who I am.
Yeah.
It is at the core of my life. And I really fear that when I'm no longer the fire chief, I won't know who I am. And I won't have something in my life. And I'll have family, and I'll have some things, but I won't have this daily activity in my life that I'm as passionate about. And so what's... You know, I'm going to be 65 years old. It's still young in today's society.
Yeah, it is.
What am I going to, the day after I leave the fire station, what am I going to do? And who am I going to be? Is something I'm really struggling with.
I'm excited to find out, though. I really am.
You were going to find something.
Not that it's a bad thing. I don't want you to retire. That's not what I'm saying.
Well, I am. And, you know, while it's personally agonizing a little bit, it's a good thing for the organization. 20 years is probably a bit long for anyone to stay in this role and clog up the top job. I know my deputy is long overdue to become chief. He'll be a great chief. He'll be completely different from me. We are like the yin and yang on a lot of levels, and we have complemented each other in ways that has been phenomenal over the past couple of years. So I look forward to him taking over and being chief. But I will have to go on to do something else with my world.
You know, there could always be a part-time job over at Sandy Neck. Just saying.
I do like the turtle rescue.
Ooh.
I'll tell you, one of the best days I ever had as fire chief was with Nina Coleman on the beach collecting turtles. Was just a phenomenal day. I feel it and remember it.
Yeah.
And so see?
Amazingly.
Something
there
to
are
think
things
about.
Out there. It's just not as easy as it looks sometimes.
I know.
So,
I know.
You know. So I struggle with that.
But you know, you've certainly talked to us about how you personally have even evolved over time in discovering, you know, what you didn't think was going to happen, mm-hmm. actually turned into something that just was so rewarding. So I have no doubt, Joe, that you are going to rediscover a new passion and always have those the fire department and those memories and those skill sets and everything to turn back to. So I really do, you know, I have faith in you.
It's an adventure ahead, that's for sure. We'll see what happens.
Well, thank you again for joining us.
Yeah,
I really do appreciate this. And we have already, Lynn and I have a slew of notes and topics that we want to bring you back on, and showing of collaboration and learning more about West Barnstable Fire. So thank you again. And thank you, listeners, for joining us. Join us next week when we invite Town Assessor Lane Partridge to talk about the ins and outs of property assessments, how and why properties are assessed, you know, pretty much like the value of valuations, and learn about exemptions and, more importantly, the assessment timeframes of when it comes to your property in the town of Barnstable, townwide, and all seven villages.
So thank you for spending time with us and listening to Discover Barnstable, the official podcast of the town of Barnstable. We hope that you found a new understanding of how your municipal government works to protect, engage, and enact for you and our community. Be sure to drop us a line at podcast@town.barnstable.ma.us and let us know what you would like to learn next. Till next time, go Discover Barnstable.